going till 11 or 12, whatever that happens. We do want to close the road, River Street from Railroad to Barrington. I've talked to most of the neighbors. Everybody said that that would be fine with them closing on a Saturday. We're going to do different events for kids, different, maybe like a hula hoop contest, little games, nothing too much face painting. We'll have a balloon animal maker. Then we'll do a meatball eating contest for adults. We're going to have bands. We're going to have an authentic Italian band. We're going to get some sort of 80s, 90s kind of dance band to finish the evening off. We're going to do all of the food through Aliano's and our Aliano's Cafe. What else? Get an accordion player to play around when the bands aren't playing, some kind of fun stuff. And then we're also going to be doing alcohol through Aliano's out by the depot, which would be wine, cocktails, beer. I do know that Eastside Cafe was interested in doing something, so they'll probably have a booth, do coffees, things like that. So we're just kind of in the beginning stages. I've talked with Mark. I took his group planning certification, so I've done that. We're going to get security. We're looking into different firms. We're not quite sure who on that. We'll have somebody doing IDing and banding for anybody that is drinking. Security. I don't know. What else you need to know?
Fencing.
Fencing, yes, the white fencing all the way around. Fencing. We're not blocking the street by Diamond Gyms, just okay. River.
Okay. The 11 or 12, will music be going that late?
Well, that's what I'm here. I haven't done this before.
So. Oh, okay.
that's why I'm here. We don't. I'm not going past midnight. I'm definitely not that.
Yeah, I think we usually have music stop at 10-ish. Like if it's out, if it's like at a...
I thought it was 11. I know the Duke does till 11. Yeah.
Duke goes till 11? Okay. Then we'll, you know.
For our normal events, I think we can stop at 10. Okay.
Yeah, I just, you know, whatever we've done in the past, we'll... Okay.
Yeah. We'd like to do this yearly. This is something Lisa and Jim that only Molly Adams have wanted to do forever. So I'm just putting the wheels in motion. I think it would be great for the community. Something a little fun, different.
I love the meatball eating contest.
Meatball eating contest, win a trophy. You can only use your hands, though. face painting and just more family kind of oriented things. And, of course, hopefully everybody's dancing and having a good time at the end of the night.
Yeah, I think the only thing, my only concern at this point is the end time. Whatever it is, whatever we do for other, we should do for this as well. So
yeah, I'm fine with 11. I mean, we're not here. I don't want to go to 1 in the morning or anything crazy like that. But, you know, the nighttime is the fun dancing for the adults.
I also understand you wanted to sell retail packaged...
Well, it's just one product. We have a woman that lives in Elgin that has made her own limoncello. She gets it professionally bottled that goes through a distributor, and it's an Italian liqueur. And so we wanted to maybe have a booth for her to sell retail that's not consuming that there, that's to take home. But that would be, we're not selling six packs of Miller Lite to take home. It's just one special kind of thing to support her local business with ours.
Yeah. So the code doesn't currently have a vision for that, but if the board is generally agreeable that this is something that you want to allow, we could bring back something for you to approve at a later date.
Yeah, because she wouldn't specifically have a liquor license for Village, so if she's got a booth, she'd need...
Well, it's through us. So we have a packaged license.
Right.
But this would be out in the event versus selling it out of our restaurant for her to be able to, you know, sell that there.
Yeah. So the class F one day is allows for on premise consumption and sales. It doesn't allow for the packaged. It doesn't allow for the package to go. But this is, you know, a unique item at a unique event. So it fits if there's a desire to.
Well, I mean, if you're selling this in a bottle, I mean, it seems likely that
I mean, it's something that's chilled. It's not like a bottle of Jack Daniels. I mean, I can't control people, of course, you know. I mean, that's not our end goal. Our end goal would just be, and this isn't a deal breaker. I mean, I don't have to have this one on the shelf. She's been a great supporter of our business. It's something that ties in with the whole Italian theme, and that was just the one thing, so I wanted to discuss it to see if that's a possibility.
Well, I think consumption of the product on the site would be covered by the class F license. The removal of it would be something that isn't.
Correct.
I don't know if it would require an amendment to the license, either for the one-time event or in the future as an ongoing thing.
Yes, Mayor Kelly Gandersky, Village Council. So the state law allows for special events and to sell packaged products like this as long as the business currently has a license to do that. My understanding here is the catch is this is 60 proof and your license goes to 40 proof, but there could be an amendment to the F1 for the one-day event.
Okay. You know, staff reviewed this internally and we discussed it, and you know, typically the issues that we see with sort of unallowable consumption wouldn't typically be what you would see with this sort of specialty product. And it'll probably be sold in a package that's sealed, and you know, I don't have too many concerns about whether or not people would try to consume it on premises, because there would be other options for people to purchase there. Although it's not to say it wouldn't happen. Just saying, like with the previous special events that Village has either hosted or allowed others to host, issues of unallowable things are more so along other lines, like taking things in from home or.
Village administrator, may I interject one more example? So for instance, right outside of Navy Pier, downtown Chicago, they do Bloody Mary Fest, and there are people that you're able to buy Bloody Mary mixed, and then you're able to buy the retail packages to go home. So it's a fest, and so this wouldn't really be any different in my mind in something like that.
Well, this one you said is sealed in.
Sealed
through the distributor, so
correct.
You know, by that account, it would be just like any other packaged good. It just is a
like a bottle.
It would just require an amendment to the F1.
Yeah. But it also would be setting precedent that hasn't been set before. So if everybody is in public, that's totally fine in the same direction.
Well, I don't.
I mean, it seems like it would more impact your sales of other drinks if people did buy that to not buy other drinks. So it seems more, if you're okay with it.
I'm not worried about it. I'm chugging limoncello. You won't make it far if you
offer. This is also
Chief,
true.
Chief may have something to say about that.
It's more of a sipping item.
Yeah. No, this sounds great. More festivals are better.
Excellent. So is that a go and I can start planning?
So do we need to do the approval of an F Class F special event liquor license? Do we need to leave that in?
For amendment.
It'll have to be brought back.
Okay. Because this is just under discussion direction. So.
We got 6 months. You can bring it back.
Okay.
Does that require our approval?
I think it's just the liquor commissioner, but before the package sales, we'll have to bring it back.
One side note, it's maybe bring up with Trisha or myself from the Arts Council, and there's a lot of talk about doing an in-plein air event sometime over the next year, where it's like painting on the streets. It's very European, like it'd be cool to have throughout the town people doing paintings that were in like an Italian kind of vibe, so there could be some synergy there.
When I ran El Diablo, Trisha did all the murals inside.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah,
very
so
cool.
Very talented. All right, so then we're a go for.
So generally, you have the green light, so we'll handle the paperwork and but you're good to go.
Wonderful. Thank you all very much.
The only other detail would be work bodies, so we need to talk about that, but we can come up with that.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got consensus to move forward with that. Let's move on to item B. We could have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve an amendment to Ordinance Title 3, Administration, Chapter 36, Administrative Adjudication.
Second.
section 36.5, authorization to impound, boot, or tow motor vehicles.
Second.
Okay. Eric, can you run us through this and so we can get a better understanding of what's, or is this been
better left to the chief? I can give a preview, but if you have any questions, I'll ask the deputy chief. But basically, Chief Kruger saw that there was a gap in our code versus other communities' codes as it relates to recouping costs for certain criminal activities. And, you know, for example, if a vehicle is used for the commission of a crime, usually you could potentially impound that vehicle, and then, you know, when the person needs to get the vehicle back, you have to pay a fee to the village in order to facilitate that, which sort of compensates the police department for their time in processing the vehicle and everything else related to that. So this allows for the village to assess that fee and collect it at the time that vehicles are impounded. Generally?
Yeah, the current village says felony. We're just looking to add misdemeanor to it. Sorry. So the current verbiage says not felony only. We're looking to add the verbiage of misdemeanor to that, and specifically how it relates to misdemeanor theft and recall.
Specifically, so you're talking only about those.
I'm sorry.
So you're only talking about those instances of misdemeanor.
That's why we acted this, correct? Is the instances of retail theft and theft. So this would be your offenses.
Okay. So coverage of felony commission wouldn't change.
Felony's already covered.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Anybody else?
Just for it, would it be, they're going to get this fine to get their car back. Is that upon conviction or just upon arrest?
Just upon arrest. They would have to pay that fee in order to get it back out of the program.
So if they're not guilty at the end of the day, do they get that money back? Or?
That's...
I can interject.
Go ahead, sorry.
So this is a separate code violation from the crime itself. If it was found that the crime, a not guilty is different than not being liable under the ordinance. Because the idea is it's the processing of the vehicle. So it's not necessarily the underlying commission gives them the reason to tow the vehicle, but the issue is whether the vehicle had to be towed and was there a good cause to tow the vehicle. And that's a lower threshold than the criminal sense. So it, just because there's a not guilty doesn't mean you're not responsible for the tow fee, if that makes sense.
They would have to use the car and commission the offense. So commission offense would be to get to the establishment to commit the retail theft or to use it to leave the establishment after the retail theft. So the answer to your question is yes. They use it to get there, which we should be able to find on video surveillance, and that would qualify for a retail. Typically what you see is they've used it, they're leaving it, the police will stop them, and the vehicle's still in that.
But if they're found to be innocent, there's no reimbursement or any. Can there be a vehicle for reimbursing if it was?
If they're found not liable by the hearing officer that processes these cases, this ordinance violation, then yes, they would get their money reimbursed. But it's. The state legislature did an umbrella where they passed this law a long time ago, and the idea is not to allow vehicles to be used in the commission of a crime. They want people to protect their vehicles. Because what you see happen is friends let other friends borrow the car, and then there's drugs in the car, there's a DUI, and the car was used in that commission of that crime. And so really what the legislature wants is the public to be very considerate about the use of your vehicle and know that that could be a weapon too. It could be used to hurt somebody. So the municipalities get their processing fees back on top of a fine for the officer's administration, really. But there are instances where it's reversed because, you know, it was reported stolen, for instance. And so if it was reported stolen, somebody used your car, then even if it was towed, the hearing officer might find no liability and give them their fee back.
Okay. And these are all adjudicated with our in-house adjudication, so we would have some oversight over this.
Well, no. The adjudicators are free to make their own decisions, but it's the ordinance. What you all have administration of is this ordinance.
Right, I was just meaning, like, this isn't going to King County Courthouse.
No.
This is going to be adjudicated here in this room with a hearing officer that's impartial and not.
They should be processed through a hearing officer.
Right.
Usually they are.
But the adjudication process wouldn't determine guilt or innocence of the crime.
No.
Right. So, I mean, even if, and to Andy, to your point, the way I'm looking at this is that regardless of whether, from a legal standpoint, somebody who committed a crime was to be able to get off due to a real sharp lawyer or a technicality, does not excuse or omit the expense that was incurred on our part. So I think that should still be covered. If after the fact they can get, as you say, the adjudication officer to waive the fee, that's something that they're going to look at. So, as far as the actual expense that's occurred, if we get the call to respond to an establishment for the commission of a crime, there's expense there. So that's what this is going to cover. Is there any other questions?
Trustee Sauter?
Yes.
Trustee Coonsey?
Yes.
Trustee Britton?
Yes.
And Trustee Tribe?
Yes.
So I think it's item C, if we could have a motion.
I will make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the snow event parking restriction pilot program.
Okay, second. All right, Erica. Do you want to see this one since it's a pilot program? Give everybody an idea of what's being presented.
Yeah, so we talked about this at our December meeting about how there are certain streets in the village that have a limited width, and then when there's snow on build up on the streets, the cars encroach towards the middle, and then it makes it difficult for emergency vehicles and others to pass through. So the discussion culminated in direction to staff to implement a policy where we would have one-sided parking on certain streets. So what you have before you is a draft policy that we would like to implement starting tomorrow if possible, and we would run for the rest of this snow season and then the following snow season. And for this snow season, we would just issue advisory citations if there was not compliance, because there's not enough time to get really an effective word out. But we would use this summer to notify folks and also to put signage up around at the affected streets, and then we would run the pilot through next winter, and then after next winter we would assess it and see if there was any tweaks that need to be made, and then we would, if there was, you know, general consensus that we wanted to bring this back for an ordinance modification to fully codify it, we would do that at that time.
So the signage would not go up before we started issuing warnings?
Well, we would if we get a snow soon, before we have a chance to put the signs up, we would issue the sort of like a letter. You know, we're instituting this, we haven't had a chance to put the signs up, so you know you didn't know that you had to not park on the side of the street, but we're going to put the signs up. And, you know, so in the future, you'll know to park on one side of the street. But once the signs are up, then we'll still do some advisory enforcement for some, you know, period of time where we give people a gratitude period, and then we would go into
it. Yeah, because I'm not a huge, like, without the signs being up, it makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
You can't just, even with just the warnings, if the signs were up, then I would say yes, put the signs up and issue warnings through the rest of the season. But without the signs being up, it's like, I don't want to fall into this place where nobody knows, and then they get something on their car.
Right.
Especially like people who are going to businesses. Like if you canvass a neighborhood with letters and things like that, then of course the neighborhood's gonna know, right? But it's without the signage up, anybody who's coming in from outside isn't going to know.
The memo reads that this entire season is warning zoning.
Yes.
Right, but it's like I'm concerned about even going to warnings without public notice, like without the sign being up about it. That's my... Anybody who gets a ticket of any kind on their windshield isn't going to be happy with it, warning or not.
We could do no enforcement until there's signage, and then once there's signage, grace period, advisory citation.
I think
enforcement once there's been adequate public education and signage for at least a certain minimum number.
I really think the public education is going to be a big part of it. Like, start getting the letters out to the neighborhood, start getting the letters out to the affected streets, things like that. Like, don't get me wrong, this affects me greatly, but I'm also very, I have strong consideration over the fact that, like, if there's no sign up, I don't even want to put a little note on somebody's windshield. Sure. Like, that makes me, nobody wants to get the orange piece of paper on their windshield.
Do you know how long we need time for the sign?
I cannot know. Phil is out sick, unfortunately, but I'll find out and let you know.
Well, we also have frozen ground right now.
We have no snow in the forecast for a while.
And 40 degrees tomorrow, so maybe we can get some in.
But the one side of parking is regardless of snow, right? It's only for the entire season, period, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to say, we need to amend our motion then to say, it will not take effect until the signs are up, or enough to give staff direction.
The resolution puts it into effect immediately, so it can be amended to put it into effect next fall. Is that real?
Well, no, we're saying
just
once
the signs
are up.
Oh, when the signs. I think staff direction is fine, I think.
And the snow event, that's the case, if anything in excess of 2 inches.
That's the next item. Is there any feedback on the list of streets? Is there any that we didn't include that you would like included, or any that we included that you would not like
the snow
so,
is the next item, right?
Okay. It is the next item, but it'll be after 2 inches and no parking at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it already is that way, after
right.
3 inches.
Yeah.
It's just lowering that it's 2 inches.
Yeah, I'll see the comments for that.
Yeah. I don't have any comments other than I suppose I do agree with Sarah that we should just wait until the signs are up before we start issuing advisory citations.
Okay.
Part of the program, so yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
This one street, like Hill and Railroad, the street's like right by Glendo's and the next block south of that. There's like a skinny section that one resident brought up that seems too tight. Those aren't on the list, so you know.
Is that on is that Third Street?
From like Calendos to a block east of Calendos.
In between.
Yeah, and then the street south of that a block. It's just that short section that goes uphill before you get to Van Buren. So between Van Buren and River Street.
Don't they have street parking on that block?
There's street parking, but it's I've been told that when there's both sides, people can't get through.
It's probably fourth Street to Van Buren.
That's probably.
The alley-ish sort of street. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, fourth to River.
Okay.
So fourth Street from Barrington to Railroad.
Railroad from from 4th to Van Buren.
Railroad from 4th to Van Buren. Okay.
If I heard that right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Hill, I think, was another one mentioned, which is just not right here.
To include those streets. I will amend the motion to approve a resolution authorizing a snow event parking restriction pilot program to include Railroad and Hill Streets from 4th Street to Van Buren.
Perfect. Second.
He said perfect. Does that count?
Trustee Sauter?
Yes.
Trustee Coonsey?
Yes.
Trustee Britton?
Yes.
And Trustee Triber?
Yeah.
And
that brings us to item D.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we have to vote on the actual item.
No, we have to vote on, okay. Kevin.
Go ahead. The same. Okay. Yeah, Trustee Sauter?
Yes.
Trustee Coonsey?
Yes.
Trustee Britton?
Yes.
And Trustee Triber?
Yes.
Apologize, but I missed that. Now we can go to item D. We could have a motion.
I move to approve an ordinance amending Title 7, Traffic of Chapter 78, General Provisions, Section 70.04, Amendments of the Village of East Dundee Municipal Code regarding parking during snow.
Okay. Discussion on this one?
Just upping from 2 to 3 inches?
Yeah, essentially. Anybody else question on that?
And then will there be signage happening that makes this more clear? Because I think this already is, there's a rule about snow and nobody knows about it in our neighborhood at least. If we're doing signage anyway, maybe that's a good time to do it.
We will need to budget for additional signs because it's going to need to be throughout the village. And there's probably a necessity for more signs than currently exist.
Mm-hmm.
So we can budget for that as part of the budget process in a couple months. And then we'll have to put those in hopefully this summer.
Maybe there's other vehicles for announcing it that
yeah.
We don't need to do the signage.
We do need to have some offline. Like, I knew that we have the newsletter. I saw a note in the newsletter. We've got Facebook. We've got all this. We need offline notices on this as well.
Yeah.
So, signs or letters or whatever, mail box stuffs, I don't care. But it can't just be on email. So.
Okay.
Trustee Sauter?
Yes.
Trustee Coonsey?
Yes.
Trustee Britton?
Yes.
And Trustee Triber?
Yes.
Okay, that will take us to reports. I'll start out. Just want to let everybody know Eric and I met with Representative Chris from Morgan's team today. In fact, we met with another team member a couple weeks ago that we're looking for help and direction on grant money for the EPA cleanup that we're looking at the Tager property. So in addition to that, we also met with Representative Mueller for much the same thing. So we'll keep everybody posted and see what comes of it. And that is about all I have. Andy, what you got?
No report.
Rich?
No report.
Scott?
No report.
Sarah.
My congratulations to Black and Gray on their 4th anniversary.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Teresa and Chris.
Yeah. Great. Joe.
Four.
Chief.
Four.
Yeah, just that, you know, I want to say I'm here for the board. If there's any questions before meetings, any concerns, please feel free to call me anytime.
Great. All right.
right, that takes us to staff reports, and then we have an executive session, so we could have a motion then to adjourn into executive session.
Erica, what do we need?
Personnel and sale of property. Correct. Okay, so, I will move to close to public and media under provisions of the Illinois Meetings Act, ILCS 120/2. C1, personnel, legal counsel, and C5, acquisition of property, and we will close from executive session, not returning back into public session.
Second.
Catherine.
Trustee Sauter?
Yes.
Trustee Kunze?
Yes.
Trustee Britton?
Yes.
Trustee Triver?
Yes.
And President Lynam?
Yes.